This program is designed to provide general information with regards to the subject matters covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the hosts, guests, sponsors, or station are engaged in rendering any specific and personal medical, financial, legal, counseling, professional service, or any advice. You should seek the services of competent professionals before applying or trying any suggested ideas.
Good morning and welcome to K4HD Radio. This is the Your Living Brand.live show. My name is Ben Baker. This show is all about how you communicate value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Over the next 50 minutes, we will explore different ways to help you demonstrate your uniqueness and ask our guest, what's your story? Welcome to the show. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Your Living Brand.live show. It's Ben Baker. This is K4HD Radio, and I want to thank everybody for being here. Today is a very special day, because believe it or not, today is 100 episodes. This is an amazing thing for me. This is 2 years in the making. I want to thank all my guests. I want to thank everybody who's listened in. I want to thank Revel. She's been an incredible sound engineer. And just say that, you know what? I couldn't have done this without everybody. And every week, the show gets bigger and better. And you know what? The people that are part of the show just make it for it. So I'm absolutely humbled. So when I went out and I asked people, I said, okay, the 100th episode is coming up. Who do you want me to interview? And I sent it out blind to 100 different people that are close friends, you know, allies, clients, etc. I said, who are the people that you think should be the number one person that I should interview over, you know, on my 100th episode? And the answer came out resoundingly, you. And it blew me away. It totally blew me away. It was one of those things where I just sat there and say, what do you mean me? And the answer that came back is, Ben, we want to hear your story. You tell everybody else's story every single week. It's your turn. So I turned to my buddy, Kirby Hasterman. Everybody say hello to Kirby. You know, Kirby is, you know, a great friend. You know, he was one of the original people that was on this show almost 2 years ago. And Kirby has his own podcast. And I said, you know what? Who better for me to turn the mic over to Kirby Hasterman? Let him pepper me with questions and find out my story. So Kirby, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ben. I literally could not be more flattered, more honored, more excited to be a part of this, because you just said it. Like you'd said, you're humbled, and it is an honor. As someone, one of the things that I think you know as a content creator is you really start to appreciate the other people who are putting in the work. You know, it takes courage, it takes a ton of work, and you know, kudos to you. So A, congratulations, and B, thanks, man. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thanks a lot, because you know what? I know that I'm in capable hands. In fact, I know I'm in phenomenal hands. Let's forget about capable hands. We know you're capable, but you know what? I've listened to your podcast. I've watched you over the years. I've seen you on stage, and I know how good you are at getting the best out of people. So you know what? I turn the mic over to you, and you know what? Let's see where this goes over the next hour.
I love it. I love it. I'm excited. So you know what? Let's A, thanks again. B, let's dig in. Let's dig into your story.
I mean, my sleeves are rolled up.
All right, cool. Me too. So let's start with the basics, right? So very basic question, kind of 10,000 foot view. How did you get your start in business, and what got you into a marketing business in the first place?
Well, you know, my start in business and marketing, let's go into, you know, because there's two different starts. I was in high-tech sales for almost 10 years. And the last job I had, I was managing a retail company that actually ended up being bought out by Best Buy. I'm sure everybody across the United States knows who Best Buy is. A company called Future Shop. And they look, if you walk into a Future Shop and you walk into a Best Buy, they look almost exactly the same. The color scheme is different, but, you know, it's the high-tech gear. It's the software. It's the hardware. It's, you know, all the things that go with it. They were 100 store chains, 75 in Canada, 25 in the U.S., you know, $1 billion company, and they were $100 million company to us.
Wow.
And what I did is I was the firefighter. My job was to manage this account. And because of that, I was in the air 200 days a year.
Oh, man.
I was literally jumping on a plane to sit there and say, okay, where's the next problem? What's the next thing we have to work on? What's the next program that we're trying to figure out? Let's make it happen. And I had 30 staff that were incredible, you know, figuring out the day-to-day, you know, what went into the store, what didn't go in the store, returns, accounting, you know, finance, all that kind of stuff. I left that to other people. And my job was to handle the account from the 50,000-foot level.
Wow.
Well, my wife and I looked at each other and said, this is a divorce waiting to happen.
It sounds exhausting.
It was. It was. You know, anybody who says travel is exotic, you know what? It is to a limit.
Right.
200 plus days a year when you walk in onto a plane and the pilot knows you by name, yeah. It's not a good thing.
Right.
So we had a conversation with the VP of sales, and, you know, the deal was is that they had me steal my competitor. So I brought on my replacement. I flew around for 45 days and then I was out, and they paid me a nice 6-month override. And the best thing they did for me is they gave me the training. Like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they threw me through the whole battery of psychological tests with a industrial psychologist. And what they came up with is, Ben, you work really well with large corporations, don't work for large corporations. And, you know, and it says you're really good at going in there and, you know, fixing problems and understanding and creating clear communication, but you know what, the internal politics are going to kill you. So that really has resonated well with me over the last 22 years. And my clients are, you know, fairly large. I work with $100 million, $1 billion companies, but I don't work inside of them and let other people deal with the politics inside. But what I realized was the sales jobs were gone. If I wanted to make the kind of money I was making and have the kind of responsibility I was going, that travel was necessary. So I took a look and said, what was the next best thing? And I went, okay, I really like marketing. I really like telling the story. And over the last 22 years, it's evolved from, you know, direct mail to promotional marketing to trade show development to, you know, being able to, you know, print development to really understanding that where my forte is,
right,
is on the consulting and workshops and being able to sit there and say, let's work on the brand strategy and communication strategy and help clients communicate more effectively.
So that's, to me, that's super interesting. And I want to, like, you kind of talked about when you came out and what you did and all of the things that have evolved, right? So right to that, when you came out first, when your business started, what was your differentiator? Or, like, I think that's something we think about and take for granted now, but what was your differentiator, or did you even have one? Or was it just like, hey, I just want clients?
Well, I mean, when I first started out, I was working for somebody else.
Okay.
You know, so when you're first starting out, you're working and you're doing what your clients need. And, you know, when you start any company, and, you know, let's get this right, I was working, you know, for my clients, figuring things out, working out on the print management side of things. And it was like, what do they need?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what really was my differentiator from day one is I've always been focused on the client. I've always been focused on, hang on a second, it's not about me, it's about them.
Right.
What is their issue? What's tearing their hair out? What's making them totally and absolutely frustrated? And then working with them to fix it,
right,
and realizing that if I don't have the answer, if I don't have the ability to fix the problem, go find somebody who does, you know, and be able to take care of the client first.
Yeah. One of the things that's so funny that you say that, Ben, because when I'm talking to my team, one of the things that I've said this, and I think you're kind of illustrating it better, but I always tell my team, if you want to build trust with a client, if you want to become an advisor to them, start recommending things that you don't sell.
Yeah.
Right. Like, because if you're looking at it, and I think that's exactly what you're saying, right? You're saying, look, I'm not worried as much about it being focused on me or how I'm going to make money. I'm thinking about the client. And if I take care of the client, the rest will take care of itself. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a big believer of, if I can't personally help a client, I want to be able to make sure that client is taken care of.
Mm.
And I'll do things like I'll be, you know, reading through my news feed and see an article that, you know, could be really, really interesting to them. And I'll just send it to a client.
Right.
You know, it's not going to make me a penny. It's not going to make me a dime, but you know what? It's going to make their life better. And by doing that, you know, I'm adding value. Yes. I'm adding value to them because I'm the person who sent it to them. I'm the person who is thinking about them, even if there's no financial benefit in it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. We talk a lot, and I know you and I have talked separately about this, but you know, I always talk about it being a give first economy. And that's a great example of just providing value without worrying about ROI, because the reality of it is a touch is a touch is a touch. And if you're, if you are adding value with each communication, regardless of whether you sell something that time or the next time or whatever, it's about focusing on creating a long-term business. And it sounds like you've, for 22 years, been thinking in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important to me. And that's something I learned from my dad. I mean, I was very lucky. My father was an entrepreneur. He had a construction company for almost 40 years. And the comment that he always said was, whatever it takes.
Right.
Whatever it takes to take care of the client, that's what you do. And if it means you lose money in the short term, you lose money in the short term. If it means you lose face in the short term, you lose face in the short term. But you take care of a client and you make sure that that client is taken care of and you work from there.
So let's go back to those early days. I don't know if it was like this for you, but when I first got into business, you know, it was a little bit of the school of hard knocks, especially when it became my own business. What are some lessons you learned in those early days that you maybe still carry on?
Well, let's go out for commercial. Let me think about that for a second.
Okay.
And, we'll get right into that.
Sounds good.
This is Ben Baker of the You're Living Brand.live show. On K4HD Radio, we'll be right back.
The Your Living Brand Show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your Brand Marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the Your Living Brand.live show.
So, Kirby, I'm back. You'll have to remind me. Your question was, what did I learn in the early days?
Yeah, so I think when anybody starts a business, I think we always talk about, you think you've got it all figured out. But at least in my experience, I did not. And so I've learned lessons in those early days of business that I still carry on. And I'm curious to know if you had experiences like that too.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing that I ever learned early on in my career, and I think that I'm lucky because I do it, is that you don't know everything and you can never know everything. And your best bet is to align yourself with people that are smarter than you are in whatever area they're smart in. You know, we all have things that we do really well and there's lots of things we do really poorly. Accounting was my Achilles heel when we first started out. You know, I had absolutely, because I'd gone from a company, you know, when I started Your Brand Marketing, I had a partner before and we had a full-time accountant and we had 30 staff and we had, you know, people in the office that actually did the day-to-day, you know, invoicing and all that. And when I went on my own 12 years ago, I lost all that. And I didn't even know how to set up a GL properly. I didn't even know why you would set something up in a certain way. And if I had just tried to fumble through that on my own without spending the time and the money to get somebody to walk in here and help me set it up in a way that was logical for me, I would have been in trouble.
Right.
I would have been in serious trouble. So I think the best thing I learned, you know, early on in my career is that you don't know everything and that's okay. Mm. You know, what's not okay is to bury your head in the sand, you know, and try to fumble through stuff, you know, and it's going to cost you far more money in the long run than the dollars and cents it costs you to hire somebody to do it right the first time.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I'll be the first to admit, I mean, as an entrepreneur, sometimes I struggle with that, right? Because I think so many times as entrepreneurs, we think no one cares as much as us. No one wants, will do it as well as us. And I think that's false thinking. And I think if that's an early lesson that you got, it took me a lot longer to learn it.
Trust me. I learned that with the baseball bat to the back of the head a few times. But, you know, I just... Those lessons do not come cheap, but you eventually do learn them.
Yeah, no, that's right. So the other thing I know about you guys is obviously you work with organizations on branding, obviously, yeah, with your brand marketing. But what was interesting is I think one of the first interactions you and I had, you were getting ready. You were going through the process of rebranding your own business, right? Yeah. And I know that you spent as much time and as much energy or more on kind of rebranding your entire business. So why did you go through that process? What did you learn from it?
Well, give you the quick history. When I first went out on my own, when I left my partner and went out, 12 years ago, I called the company CMYK Solutions, which is cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. It's the four colors that make up all printing. And when I first started off, we did a lot of print and a lot of promotional products. That was a majority of our business. So it was a very much a tangible product business.
Right.
And the company over the years morphed to realizing where my clients really wanted me far more for the strategic thinking than they wanted me for the actual printing. There's lots of places to get, printing done and lots of places to get done cheap. And, I wasn't adding any real value, but where I realized my value was on the strategic side of things in terms of the branding communication. And the name was fine for your existing clients because your clients, evolve with you and they understand you and you're having those conversations and whatever. But what I realized is the old name, the CMYK Solutions, was pigeonholing me as a printer.
Right.
To new clients. They're going, well, how can you be a brand strategist with that name? No, you're a printer. Your name says printing in it. And not only that, it says old school because it's, we're in a digital world. CMYK Solutions is old school. Why are you even thinking about that? Well, when I developed the name 13, 14 years ago, guess what? There was no Twitter and Facebook was
right
in infancy. And I didn't see it coming to the extent that it did. So that's life. So with that in mind, I took a hard look and I sat there and said, okay, where do I want to be moving forward? What do I really want to say to people? Where do I add value to? Who are the people that I add value to? And how can I help them solve the problems that they currently have? And I went, Ben, you tell stories. You help people tell their stories. You help people communicate effectively. And that's where the logo came from. But the brand itself is the Your Brand Market. It's about you. It's about your story. It's about your ideas. It's about your needs, wants, and desires. It's not about me. It's about you and your company. Mm-hmm. And that's where my focus is. So that's where the name came from.
I love that. I love that. So I'm going to veer off a little bit and just, I'm curious, when you're meeting with a client, when you're talking to an organization, how do you help them realize or how do they realize when it's time to rebrand?
Yeah. And that's, and that's tough. A lot of my clients, there's two different types of clients. One where you're doing a brand from scratch and, we'll work with a lot of the startup community
right
to be able to help them build their brand. But I find that the conversations that I have, because we work with, 10 to about $80 million companies when we're doing branding.
Okay.
And the deal with them is that they're going through a major change. Grandsons are taking over grandfather's company. Somebody just bought or sold the company. They've got new product lines coming online that, nobody knows about. They've had a shift in what they sell and why they sell or who they sell it to. They've reached a glass ceiling where all of a sudden they're at $20 million. They want to be a $50 million company, but nobody's taking them seriously at the $50 million mark. All of those things are red flags that say, you know what, it's time to look at your brand. And it may not be a rebrand. It may be a reposition. You know, it may be, you know, it really comes down to spending, you know, 3, 4, 5 days with a company, really digging deep and understanding, you know, where are you? Where do you want to go? And figuring out where the holes in the dike are. Every company has holes in the dike. And it's a matter of figuring out, is it one or two that we could just patch with concrete? Or, you know what, do we need to build a new dike?
Yeah, right. So I'm curious because I actually think there's a ton of value as you're meeting with clients. There's a ton of value in the sense that you went through this process not too terribly long ago. So I'm curious to know what, like, based on what you thought was going to happen when you rebrand versus what actually happened, what lessons did you learn that you were sort of surprised about, or were there any?
Well, you know, there was some interesting legal things that needed to be considered because when you change a name of a company, you lose your lines of credit. There's all sorts of things that can come up with a company legally that you need to consider it. So what I did is I did a DBA, which is a doing business as. You know, what we do is we take a look at, we are actually your brand marketing, or sorry, we are CMYK Solutions doing business as your brand marketing, or your brand marketing, a division of CMYK Solutions. So all of our legal, our contracts, our lines of credit, all those things remain constant because we've kept the parent name in the background. Now, all it is, it's a shadow that just sits there and, you know, it's a legal company name, but you know, people know me as your brand marketing, but from a legal point of view, we've kept the CMYK Solutions because there was a couple major clients that we had contracts with. And they said, if you become your brand marketing, we're going to have to go through that whole contract process all over again. Yeah. And that was probably the biggest thing that hit me between the eyes.
You know, that's a great though, because again, I think by you living through that, you can kind of walk into them and say, you can kind of give them a heads up, right? So a couple things that kind of come up from what you just mentioned. So you had said, like, maybe a company gets to $50 million and they hit a plateau.
Yeah.
How would a brand, like, it's hard to believe that a brand would have so much to do with, once you get that big, why would a brand have something to do with why they aren't able to take that next step?
Well, I think that every brand, you know, it's interesting because one of our guests asked a really similar question. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
And what you need to realize is we all have stages in our career. We become, you know, $500,000 company, $1 million company, a $5 million company, a $10 million company, a $20 million company, a $50 million company, a $100 million company, a $1 billion company. And each one has stages, and you're building up levels of trust and levels of expertise as you grow as a company. And people that see you as, okay, we're a small business. If you're considered a small business, say you're under $5 million under, they're only going to give you a certain amount of their work based on the fact that they say, you know what, this is a small company. They can't handle it. Like if somebody gave me $10 million worth of work, you know, for a major corporation, I couldn't handle it. I'm not a big enough company. I just couldn't handle $10 million worth of work. It's not possible.
Right.
And there's a legitimacy factor. So along those milestones, as you get bigger, you're still going to have that legitimacy issue. Can they handle the business? Are they big enough? Do they have the structure in place? You know, do they have the vision to be able to help us? You know, because billion-dollar companies like to deal with billion-dollar companies, or they at least like to have that level of trust that they can do that. You know, so it's building up your brand credence and the vision and the language that you use, so you're speaking at the same language as the clients that you want to, you know, you want to influence and do business with.
Yeah. So, why do you, or I guess my next question would be, like, it feels like brands today, the actual brand is more important than ever. Do you agree? And if so, why? Do you think it's more important now?
I think branding is really important. I really think that branding is important. And here's the thing. Your brand is worth, you know, almost nothing as you're building it. It really is. Where your brand is worth money is the day that you go to sell the company, or the day you go public, or the day, you know, that all of a sudden you're starting to get a contract because somebody recognizes your brand.
Right.
You know, that's what it is. Your brand, as Jeff Bezos says, your brand is who you are when you're not in the room.
Yes.
So it's how people perceive you. So the more you can build a brand where people, because you influence your own brand, you do not create your brand.
Yeah.
You tell your story, you act a certain way, you do business a certain way, you have a certain philosophy, but you know what? It's how people perceive that brand is why it's valuable or it's not valuable.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I always kind of, I agree with what you just said, and I think one of the examples I always think of is if your brand is what other people say, and it's a little bit like back in high school, if you had to say that you were cool, you weren't cool. The other kids determined that. Yeah. And so I love what Bezos said there. So,
exactly. So
one other question that kind of popped up was, like, you had talked about, you'd thrown out a couple things there that I guess I want to dig into in case people didn't understand, is the difference between like a DBA and a subsidiary of the parent company. Can you dig into that just a little bit?
You know what, the DBA, the doing business as, it's more of a legal, you know, recommendation, you know, especially for a smaller company. By doing a DBA, you don't have to go through any legal, you know, things. You just declare yourself as doing business as. It allows you to be able to, like, I can take checks from that are made out to CMYK Solutions and put them into the Your Brand Marketing bank account.
Okay.
You know, but it allows me to be able to sit there and say, you know, on my invoices to a couple of my larger clients that I have contracts, the invoices are Your Brand Marketing, a division of Your Brand Marketing, a division of CMYK Solutions Inc. So it gives them the capability of saying, yes, this is CMYK Solutions Inc.
Yeah. So, and I apologize for getting it down into the weeds there, but I think it's one of those where we want to, you know, go 10,000 feet. But I think that one of the things that you've learned by going through this process and working with all of these other organizations is that I think that's actually kind of one of the lessons is as you dig in and take your own advice, you learn things like that and are able to help people with it. And so
the best piece of advice I can give with that is talk to your accountant and your lawyer.
Right.
They know way better than you do. And this was my advice of my lawyer and my accountant. I think that conversation might have cost me $1,000.
Yeah,
it really did. By having the two of them in the room and having that conversation, it was probably $1,000 conversation, but it probably saved me $50,000.
Yeah. So what I'd like to do is I want to dig into the lessons of the podcast, but before we do that, I have just a couple more questions. Is that okay?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So talk to me, I guess, again, back to the sort of the 10,000 foot view. I mean, you get in there and I know, just like we talked about, you dig into the weeds, you have to look at 50,000 feet, but how do you think your business specifically has evolved over the past 20 years, both good and bad?
Yeah. I mean, we started off as, you know, 22 years ago, I killed trees, you know, really, I killed thousands and thousands of trees, you know. We were in the direct mail business, and that's really how I started off in the marketing industry, was through direct mail. And, you know, we did large catalog runs. We did large, birthday card runs, working flyers for large corporations. And, you know, and the business was very tactical. It was extremely tactical. It was like, okay, somebody needs X, let's build them X.
Right.
And over the years, I've learned to ask why a lot more. And what I've done is I've really narrowed down my lane. You know, instead of saying, I'll take any customer under the sun. If you've got a heartbeat and a Visa card, you are my client. That is nowhere near the truth anymore. I work with business-to-business companies. As I said, I work with companies that are 10 to about $80 million, you know, a few larger. You know, we do projects for a couple billion-dollar companies, but we do projects for them. We are not their vendor of record.
Right. But
it's all business to business. It's all brand strategy and communication, and it's dealing with insurance, insurtech, you know, manufacturing companies, logistics companies, and we've really narrowed down what we do and who we do it for to become far more of an expert than a jack of all trades.
Yeah. And I think that's an incredible evolution that I think a lot of businesses, a lot of entrepreneurs either make or they struggle to make, right?
Yeah.
So talk to me about a time that maybe that evolution wasn't so seamless, right? Like, you know, where you were going from the anybody who can fog a mirror is my client, but then you're trying to get to a place where you're a little bit more specific about your clients.
Yep.
Tell me about a time where maybe you failed to evolve the way you should have.
Probably the best, you know, story that I have with that is when I first started back then CMYK Solutions, is that I really had no way of differentiating myself. And here's a great story that I tell the story from the stage. And I'll really abbreviate it. And I met with a client and we went through a potential client and we walked through their entire office and they introduced me to everybody, shook my hand, and we had a wonderful conversation. I thought things were going really well. And we walked up to a boardroom and all of a sudden there's three monitors sitting right there. And he turns on all three monitors. And at that point in time, I had a canned website. And, you know, it was a bought for you website. And the only thing that differentiated my website from anybody else's was the fact that my logo was in the top left-hand corner.
Yeah, right.
Well, guess what was on the other two monitors besides mine?
Oh,
two websites that looked exactly the same.
Oh,
and both of them were, you know, both, all three of us were in the promotional marketing industry. All three of us. And the guy said, look, he says, you all look, smell, and feel the same. You all buy from exactly the same people. Why should I care about you? And right. I didn't have the answer.
Right.
And at that point in time, I couldn't tell you. I certainly can tell the answer today, you know, but back then I didn't have an answer. And guess what? Within 6 months of that, I had torn down my website, rebranded myself, you know, in terms of the story that I told. And I had really taken the time to really hammer down what made me different. And it was that kick in the face.
Yeah.
That made me do it.
Yeah. Those are the lessons that in the moment, man, I mean, I'm visualizing that right now, Ben. And the idea like that had to be gut wrenching when they did that.
It's tail between your legs. Thank you very much. And walk out the door.
Yeah. The problem, or I guess the challenge with that is that it's a great lesson though, right? It's like in that moment, it hurts so much, but boy, and by the way, because you and I come from similar backgrounds from an industry perspective, it is something I totally understand. It's something we work hard at because, you know, differentiation is a huge key in any industry and certainly ours. So that is a great story. Okay. So I wanted to, if it's okay, I want to start talking about this podcast. That's part of the reason for sort of this. It's the 100th episode, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like I'd be remiss not talking about the role content has played in sort of your business evolution. We've sort of talked about how you have evolved from being that jack of all trades that takes any client to someone who's a little bit more selective. And not necessarily just this podcast, but whether it's blogs, whether it's videos, whether it's this podcast, how has content helped you evolve in that story? How has it made you different?
You know what? That's a great story. Let me think about this. Rebel, let's go out for commercial one last time, and then we'll come back and I'll answer that.
This is Ben Baker of the You're Living Brand Live show on K4HD Radio. We'll be right back.
Thank you. The Your Living Brand Show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your Brand Marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the Your Living Brand Live Show.
And we're back. Kirby, that's a great question. I mean, content is king. In today's world, people are looking for information. People are desperate for information that can help them make a decision either to go one way or to go the other. You know, whether they should like something, they should dislike something, whether, you know, something is something they should care about or something that they should ignore. The problem is there's so much noise.
Yeah.
There is an enormous amount of noise. There's so many people putting, and I'm not going to, you know, blame the cat videos, but there's way too many cat videos on Facebook. You know, there's so much stuff that is the look at me. And that's what I really break it down to. It's there's so much look at me, look how wonderful I am. Look at, you know, the amazing things that I do, that when people actually put out content that's of value to the audience that they actually need to communicate with, it gets lost.
Right.
You know, because people are jaded today. People are scrolling through their feeds at a million miles an hour. And they're just, and they're really, really picky, because we've come to a point in time where we've just jammed up people's emails and social media feeds and whatever with so much junk that it's hard to differentiate what's good, what's bad, and what is going to help me move my needle?
Yeah. Yeah, I will tell you, I totally agree. The, you know, the challenge is, and as, you know, not only as a person who's consuming content, but someone who's creating content like yourself, is like, how do I stay relevant?
Yeah.
Because I think when you do it, especially if you're doing it for the right reasons, just like you said, look, I want to create value, but I think that's one of the challenges is, and I wonder from you, how do you answer that question for yourself? How do you decide, oh, this person would be a good guest, or how, or this piece of content would add value to the client?
For me, the question always starts off with what do my clients care about?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it really is. Whether it's, you know, my wonderful audience here, whether it's the people that I, you know, line my pocket with money, or you know, or it's the people that they are trying to influence. The first question I ask is, why should people care?
Right.
You know, am I saying something that actually makes a difference in somebody else's world? And if the answer is no, then I don't say it.
Okay.
You know, and it's really that simple. The question is, I have an ego to sit there and say, I talk about branding and marketing strategy. That's it.
Okay. You know,
when I'm on social media, I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about, you know, the Kardashians. I'm not talking about anything along those lines. I'm talking about branding and marketing strategy, and I stay in that lane, you know. And what I'm doing is I'm sitting there going, I want to be known for that. And therefore, those are the communication and that's the information I do. When I'm bringing guests on board, my question is, do they have a relevant story? And can they tell me why what they do and how they do it is different? It's unique. Right. And they're the ones actually, you know, differentiating themselves in their industry. And how do they do it? You know, and that's what I really want from a great guest.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, so in other words, these are the kind of people that not only can share 10,000 foot view, but they can talk tactics for your clients and add value in that way.
Absolutely. You know, cool. It's a Seth Godin. People like us do things like this. And I think to the day I die, that phrase will probably be in my head. People like us do things like this. And if you sit there and say, these are the people that I care about and care about me, this is what they care about. Okay, let's talk about that right. In a way that's relevant to them.
Yeah. So I'm curious, just because, you know, through this conversation, we've talked about evolution. And Since this is the 100th episode, I'm curious to know, how has the podcast changed? 100 episodes, 2 years, that's a long time. And so what's changed from this piece of content?
Well, I mean, the biggest change was moving over to iHeartRadio and K4HD in January. And changing the format. This used to be a podcast that was a pre-recorded podcast. And actually, it started off as a live podcast and then went to a pre-recorded podcast when, quite honestly, a few of my guests could not make it there for 10 a.m. Right. You know, they just didn't show up on time. And therefore, you just sat there with dead air for a few minutes. Yeah. And so I moved this thing into a podcast that I released on a weekly basis, and all the episodes were pre-recorded. And then I realized what I really was missing with the live engagement, you know, both with an audience, with the guests, and that real repertoire that goes back with real live radio. And by moving over to K4HD and Talk for Media, it allowed me to have that back again. And it allowed me to be able to bring an audience in. It allows me to sit there and, you know, read the questions online and be able to, you know, to answer the questions that really matter to the people that are listening to this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's also given me the ability to send it out on iTunes, on SoundCloud, on Spotify, on iHeartRadio. So the message is being disseminated at a larger basis, and it's allowed me to increase the size of my audience and be able to reach a more, you know, robust crowd.
Yeah. Well, and if you're like me, I mean, again, I think just like anything else, and I compare a lot of times, I'll compare content marketing to like fitness.
Yeah.
The reality of it is the more you do it, the more you flex those muscles, the more repetition you get, hopefully like the better you get, right? Like I certainly have hopefully gotten a little bit better, and I'm sure you feel the same way.
Oh, you know, if you went back and listened to the episodes 1, 2, 5, 7, and 10 or whatever they are, and you compared them to this in the last 5 episodes and the next 5 episodes, it's a way better show.
Yeah.
You know, the questions are more relevant. The guests are better. The stories are better. You know, the flow is better. It's a much better show. And that comes with, you know, I will guarantee you at my 200th episode, I will be even better than I am today. And I will have learned more. And the guests that I've had on will make me a better, you know, radio host. So it's all about, you know, it's a muscle. The more you flex it, the better it is.
Yeah. And I tell you what, I talk about it a lot with my guests, people like, oh, I feel like you get things out of me and stuff like that. I think, and I'm sure you're the same way, I spend more time coming up with the questions than I do doing the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that prep work, I think so many times people look at the people who are on TV or creating content and they're like, oh, they're just naturally gifted at it. And that is always like, well, yeah, sure. After I spent 3 hours preparing for a 15-minute program.
if I didn't take the time combing through people's social media feeds and reading their website over and having a conversation with them ahead of time, you couldn't do the show.
No. Yeah.
You know, you couldn't do the show. If you just got there and somebody blind who you've never met, you don't know anything about them, and then tried to talk to them for 25 or 30 minutes in a relevant way.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. So I guess one of the things that I get all the time, right, is when you're creating content, and of course you're doing this at a great level, 100 episodes. So people always are like, yeah, but what's the ROI? So I'm going to ask the question in a little bit different way, but it's the same question. How has it helped your business?
You know what? What it's done for my business is it's given it a larger voice, and it's allowed customers from across the United States to know who I am and what I do and be able to have more relevant conversations. I mean, what we're doing a lot these days is we're working with companies to find out how to retain and grow your rockstar employees. That's what we do. You know, and, you know, the branding is a huge part of it, but really what we're trying to do is retain and grow your rockstar employees. And by people hearing that message, it's enabled me to have much better conversations with clients.
Right.
You know, and it's being able to, for me to, all of a sudden, instead of me having to dial for dollars, people are actually calling me.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned Seth Godin just a little bit ago, and that's the person that popped into my mind. In his latest book, This Is Marketing, he broke it down in a literally the best way that I've ever heard anybody describe it. And he said, brand marketing versus direct marketing. So many people are looking at content and trying to treat it like direct marketing. Like it's, you know, you're going to click here and sell something. And I think it's much more brand marketing. And you just sort of alluded to that, right? Like it's making you and your brand show up in a different way. And that leads to sales. It's harder to quantify, but it's super powerful.
Yeah, nobody buys off my radio show. Nobody clicks on a link and says, okay, you know, charge my Visa card, you know, $12,000. You know, what it does is it enables meaningful conversations to happen that become $12,000, $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 engagements.
Yeah, that's and again, that's super powerful. Super powerful. So the other pushback I get, and I know we've got only a little bit of time left, but one I want to get to is people always are like, well, how do you create the content and still have time to run your business? So do you have any advice for just, hey, how do I get it done?
I mean, I've really compartmentalized this. This is a, you know, 10 to 11 every Wednesday is the show. Mm-hmm. I probably spend another hour a week on research, and I do another hour a week, you know, making sure that I've got new guests, you know, coming in. I mean, I'm lucky. I'm booked 3 to 4 months out. I think we're booked to mid-August right now.
Awesome.
So I've got guests, you know, mid-August, and I book guests 3 to 4 months out on a regular basis because it makes life a lot easier. Sure. But my guests come through natural conversations that I have with companies, and I invite people. You know, so the guests is probably the easiest part for me to do. You know, people are more than happy to get on the radio and tell their story. People love doing that. But it's really a matter of sitting there going, okay, this is really 2 hours a week. Right. And, you know, I look at this is 2 hours a week of marketing. This is 2 hours a week of marketing my company. So I think that's probably the best way of looking at it.
I think you're exactly right. When people ask me that question, I'm always like, I make it a priority.
Yeah.
So many people don't, and they say, oh yeah, it's important, but their actions don't show that. And I think your actions have shown that over and over and over again. One final question.
Sure.
So, you know, years of business, 100 episodes in, what are some of the most important lessons in business you have learned?
Probably the most important lesson that I've learned is that it's all about the customer. It is really about the customer. It's not about me. If I take care of my customers, if I treat my customers like gold, if I build my business around their needs, their wants, their desires, and understand what really are the challenges that they face, the money comes. You know, if all I'm worried about is making a paycheck, you know what? It's a long, hard slog.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's exactly right. Is putting the customer first is a ton of value. And, you know, as we wrap up here, Ben, I just want to say, you know, as someone who is a fan of yours, someone who follows you, and you certainly provide a ton of value to me, I just want to say congratulations, because the idea that you put 100 times, like, I don't think people understand sometimes 100 in a row. That takes an enormous amount of dedication, an enormous amount of preparation. And I know you're saying 2 hours a week, but it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Yeah. So I wanted to congratulate you and thank you for all you're doing.
Kirby, thank you very much for being part of the show. Thank you very much for being part of the 100 episodes. Thanks to all my listeners for being part of the 100 episodes, thanks to Rebel. You know, on Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning, this show will be at the Your Living Brand live show. I'll answer all the questions that were asked online. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week, and we will see you next Wednesday at 10 o'clock Pacific on the Your Living Brand show.
This has been the Your Living Brand live show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. My name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. We help you to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. If you want to communicate more effectively and build influence through trust, contact us at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. But every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, this is the Your Living Brand live show. Tune in next week on K4HD Radio when we ask another guest, what's your story?